I want to speak about one particular aspect of the mitzvah of yeshiva basukkah. It's an aspect that even the Rambam himself writes that maybe not everybody is as makbid on as perhaps they should be or perhaps they shouldn't be. So we'll try to figure out by the end of the year whether we should or should not be still more makbid about this particular aspect of the mitzvah. And that's the idea of sleeping in the sukkah. So the Gemara tells us in the second part, don't worry, we're not going to go with too many chumras. The Gemara in the second part of Masechet Sukkah tells us, commenting on the pasuk of Masechet Teishvu Shivas Yomim. So Teishvu doesn't mean literally to sit. Teishvu means a lashon dira. So Teishvu ke'ein tadur. We have in the Seira that the mitzvah of Sukkah is supposed to be performed in the same way that one performs living in one's own house. So what does that mean? Teishvu ke'ein tadur. So it means a lot of things. There are many, many dinim. Probably most of the dinim of yeshiva pasukah stem from this drush of Teishvu ke'ein tadur. So one of the dinim of Teishvu ke'ein tadur means that those types of activities that you usually do in your house, those are the things that one is required to do in the sukkah. So achilas, eating your house, shtiyah, you sit down, you eat, you drink in your house, and shena, usually one sleeps in one's house, so therefore the achila and the shena are required to be done in the sukkah. To such an extent, there's a chiv of shena in the sukkah that the Gemara draws a distinction between achila and shena, that in a certain sense, shena is even more chomer than achila, because achila, the Mishnah tells us, achila sarai is mutter chutz v'sukkah. One's allowed to have a little snack outside of the sukkah. There's nothing wrong with that. The Mishnah says maybe there's an Indian to do everything in the sukkah, but Mikra Din, there's really nothing wrong with taking a cup of water, having a snack, eating a fruit, things of that nature outside of the sukkah. When it comes to Shena, so the Gemara says that there's no such thing as a Shena Sarai in the realm of sukkah. There's a Shena Sarai in other areas of halacha, but in the area of yeshiva, the sukkah, the Gemara says even a little bit of a nap, even a dream, you close your eyes for a couple of minutes, so that's considered to be a significant amount of a Shena. That's a problem, chutz the sukkah. So that's considered to be a bitul hamitzvah. Anyone who either eats it, achilas kevach chutz b'sukkah is considered to be vivat of the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah, and the one who sleeps out of the sukkah, even a shenas aroi, is considered to be a bitl of the mitzvah of sukkah. No one tells you to go to sleep. You want to stay up for the whole week and still have a show every, and want to party every night, and you want to sit and learn at night, that's fine. But if a person wants to go to sleep, so to him, as if a person wants to eat, if a person chooses not to eat your own sukkahs, or the person chooses just to eat fruit the whole week, so that's okay. So that's not called the bitl of the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. But if a person decides to eat the achilas kevach, a person decides to take a nap, to go to sleep, so then that sleeping or that eating achilas kevah must be done in the sukkah. So based on this halacha that's explicit in the Gemara, the Rambam who chasukah raises the problem that we look around and we see that it's not happening. So the Olam not so careful about this. The Rambam writes that the medachtikim, those unique individuals, were very careful, very scrupulous about mitzvahs, so they're sleeping in the sukkah, whereas most other people are not necessarily sleeping in the sukkah. So the Rambam is bothered with the problem. Happening deep, the Gemara says the favorish that you're mechuyav to sleep in the sukkah. It's a din min haTorah. So mehechet heisa that people who otherwise shomer Torah mitzvahs, who are keeping the other aspects of chasukah, they wouldn't dream of eating a meal outside of the sukkah when it comes to sleeping, so they're not following this halacha. So the Rambam suggests several limudei schos to explain away what this is based on. So the first is a tremendous chiddush that the Rambam himself admits as a chiddush. The Rambam says that maybe we can be malamed schos at least on the married men that they're not mechuyav to sleep in the sukkah. Why is that? So the Gemara says that teishvu kein taduru, that living in the sukkah has to be the same way that one lives during the course of the year. And there are many, many dinim that are derived from teishvu kein taduru. One of them being the fact that if somebody's mitzvah, if somebody's uncomfortable, if it's too cold or something, or there are bugs, or whatever the case may be, there's something that's interfering with a normal, comfortable staying in the sukkah, so then one is potter from sukkah because teishvu kein taduru. You don't have to do more in the sukkah than you would do in your own home during the rest of the year. So the Rambam comes up with the following chiddush. He says, so on a regular rest of the year, so a married man, so he sleeps together in the same room with his wife. So when it comes to the yontif of sukkah, so also he's supposed to have a sukkah that he's able to stay together with his wife. And if he can't stay together within the sukkah with his wife, so that's not called the teishvu kein taduru. So therefore, the person would be potter from the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. That's the chiddush of the Rambam. That madira ish v'ishto, af yeshiva b'sukkah ish v'ishto. So the Rambam says, so what's so terrible? So why can't a person stay together with his wife in the sukkah? So the Rambam says, well, in those days, there wasn't that much room. So not everybody necessarily had their own private sukkah. Like, I grew up in an apartment building in Riverdale. So I never grew up in a private sukkah. We had 15 families. We chipped in and we put a sukkah in the parking lot. So that's the move. In the days of the Rambam, the Rambam describes those kinds of sukkahs also. He had a lot of these communal types of sukkahs. So the Rambam says, it's going to be not sinistic. Everyone's going to come together with their wives. It's not shaykh to do that. So the Rambam says, it's not feasible to do a dira ish v'ishto. So therefore the Rambam says that it's not feasible to do it. So Meila, the husbands are not mechuyav to come and sleep by themselves in the sukkah, because that would be a chisaron of madira ish v'ishto, afishir basuki ish v'ishto. So mameila they're going to be potter. So the Rama says, what should a person try to do? A person should try to build a private sukkah. If you have room to build a private sukkah, you should build a private sukkah that you'll be comfortable together with your wife privately, and mameila you'll be able to fulfill the din of madira ish v'ishto, afishir basuki ish v'ishto. But kozman, you can't do that, says the Rama. So then you're going to be potter. So if you follow the lines of reasoning of this Rama, let's say a person has a private sukkah, a beautiful private sukkah, but his wife doesn't want to camp out in the middle of October. So what do you want? She's not mechuyavus. She's p'turah from the mitzvah sukkah. The mitzvah says she has man grama. So we can't have any tainus on her. So it's not nice for him to convince her to tell him that she doesn't want to camp out, then he'll be potter. That's a little bit of a cheating. But usually you don't have to go that far. Usually it's the... maybe nothing. Usually the wife says, listen, it's very nice, it's wonderful, you go sleep out by yourself, I don't want to sleep out in the cold, I'm not interested, I want to sleep in the house. So now the husband could say, I'd love to go sleep out by myself, but I can't, because the Rama states that my dear ish v'ishto, afishiv v'sobish v'ishto. So the male, if you follow this line of reasoning of the Rama, the same way the Rama pattered in a situation when the sukkah wasn't private, who had been on me, the Rama is going to pop her in a situation where the wife is not interested in coming out to the sukkah. There's nothing wrong with her not wanting to come out, because she's not mechuyavus in mitzvahs, and she's not mechuyavus in mitzvah of the mitzvah issue of the sukkah.
Why wouldn't the Rama say that himself?
Why didn't he give that reason?
Because
I guess the Rama couldn't envision that the nashim tikaniyos should be corrupted. No, but the stam of the woman's going to come. She's going to run out to. I don't want to be multi-laws with any women from Krakow or any or Brückenfield or Tinek anywhere else. I'm just saying that Rama is describing that the stomach. You have a private sukkah, so there won't be a problem. But between me and you, I don't know how much warmer it was in the houses. I don't think I was that much more comfortable in the houses in Krakow than it was in the sukkahs in Krakow. So no. That's following the Pesach of Ramon. The question is, where in the world did Ramon get this from? Madira Ishva Ishto, Af Yeshiva Basuk Ishva Ishto. The Ramon seems to be making up a drasha. There is no such Gemara. The Gemara says that Teshva came to Duru, but the details of Teshva came to Duru, the Gemara spells out in different places in Masechet Sukkah, and this drasha doesn't really apply. So the Emma says that this drasha does appear in Masechet Sukkah in a little bit of a different context. The Gemara has, both in Masechet Sukkah and in the first Brech of Masechet Kedushin, a discussion, is it really true that women are p'turos from the mitzvah Yeshiva B'Sukkah? The Gemara quotes a pasuk to tell me that that's the case. A woman is p'tura from Sukkah because ha'ezrach l'maites ha'noshim. There's a cross of the women are exempt from Sukkah. So the Gemara asks on itself, why do you need a pasuk to exempt women from Sukkah? Tapeglay that it's a mitzvah sasasha's mangram. Of course women are p'turos. It's the same as shofar and tefillin and kriyas shma and tzitzis. So of course women are p'turos. So why do you need a special pasuk to exempt women? So the Gemara works hard to try to figure out, what do you need a pasuk for? What's the tzarech of the pasuk? So one of the days the Gemara Rava says that you need the pasuk because perhaps they would have compared sukkah to matzah, just as matzah women are chayavos in, even though it's a mitzvah sasasha's mangrama because of the special gzeres akosu. The Torah says shivas yom tochol matzah, lo sochol ab chametz shivas yom tochol ab matzah. So you're not allowed to eat chametz, and you're required to eat matzah. The Torah puts the two in the same phrase, in the same pasuk. So this comes to teach us that whoever is not allowed to eat chametz, including women are obligated in all lo sasas, even zman grama. So women are obligated in the mitzvah derais of achilas matzah. So I would have thought that just as women are obligated in matzah, women are obligated in sukkah, and it's not such a far-fetched drasha, because we know the Gemara in Sukkah tells us in the seventh parak that there are comparisons between matzah and sukkah. The obligation of eating in the sukkah the first night is learned out from the comparison to matzah. So the matzah-sukkah connection, the Gemara calls the Gezerin Shav of Chamisha Asa, Chamisha Asa. It says the phrase Chamisha Asa by Sukkot, and it says the phrase Chamisha Asa by Pesach. So that's already a well-known, that's a well-documented drasha. So I would have thought that included in this drasha, we should be mechayev women. So Kamash Malon comes the pasuk and says it's not true. The women are in fact p'turos from the mitzvah of Yeshiva B'Sukkot. So there's a concept that women are in fact p'turos from the mitzvah of Yeshiva B'Sukkot. That's what Rava says. And Abaye gives a different taich. Abaye says, the reason why I need a pasuk to exempt women from sukkah is because I would have thought the chayavos. Why? What was the havamina? Why would I have been obligated women in sukkah? So Abaye says, Teishu Kein Taduro should have obligated women. Madira ishva ishto, af yeshiva basukha ishva ishto. I would have said that just as you live in a normal context in your house together with your wife, so too you go out to the sukha together with your wife. So I would have thought women are obligated. Kamash malon, it's not true that women are psuros. That's what the Gemara says in Kiddushin, not in Masechah Sukkah. So this drasha of Madira Ishva Ishto, Ak Ishiva Basuka Ishva Ishto, is documented in the Gemara, but in the opposite direction. The Gemara used the drasha to be mechayev women. The Gemara used the drasha that has a havamina that women are chayavos in the mitzvah sukkah, and ultimately the Gemara rejected it on technical grounds as a pasuk that offsets that possible drasha. So at the end of the day, it doesn't mean anything. At the end of the day, ma'adira ish v'ishto, ha'fishiv v'suk ish v'ishto, is meaningless lahalacha. And it was only Abaye speaking. Rava didn't even have it as a havamina. So what the Ramah did is, the Ramah took a phrase in the Gemara that was Abaye speaking, who was probably shloka halacha in the first place, because he talked like Rava. And number two, it was Abaye speaking in a havamina, and it was a havamina going in the wrong direction. It was a havamina telling me that women should be chayovos in sukkah. The Ramah took that one line and took it in the context that he wanted it, and said that madira ishva ishto, av sukkah ishva ishto, which is a p'tur in yeshiva b'sukkah, which tells me that once we know that women are p'turos from sukkah, so we could use that p'tur now to pop the husbands also if the wives don't want to go out to the sukkah. So that's a tremendous, tremendous chiddush that the Ramah is saying. Such a tremendous chiddush that many of the Achronim, perhaps most of the Achronim, say that's not true. But the Magen Avraham says there is no such drasha. The Mechilas Kavod of the Ramah, the Gemara never says madira ish v'ishto, af yeshiva b'sukkah ish v'ishto, and therefore a man doesn't have to go to the sukkah when his wife doesn't want to. There is no such drasha, says the Magen Avraham. And says the Vilna Gaon, that was one half a line in the Gemara and Sukkah in the opposite direction, said by Abaye, which ended up wasn't the Maskana Se Gemara. So to build the whole tour of the Araisa based on that one half a line in the Gemara out of context is not correct. So many of the Achronim say that the Ramah's Chiddush is not absolutely not true. But then comes the Magen Avraham and says that even though the Ramah's tremendous Chiddush is all encompassing Kula, that Ma'adira Ishva Ishto, Af Yeshiva Basukha Ishva Ishto is not true, says the Magen Avraham, sometimes he's right, V'lav Mitamei. Sometimes the Ramah's right anyway. Sometimes you can have a situation where the Ramah's Pesach may end up being true, that a married man is Potter from Sukkah, but not because of the rationale, not because of the reasoning of the Ramah. Says the Magen Avraham, let's say like the Metzias HaDvarim, the way the Ramah was describing that it wasn't, there was no privacy in the Sukkah. So comes the Magen Avraham and says, let's say it's a Leil Tevila, let's say it's a Leil Ona, let's say it's time when the couple wants to be together. So now you get to tell the husband he has to go sleep out in the Sukkah, his wife's going to sleep in the house, he has to sleep in the Sukkah, so they're not going to be together. So comes the Magen Avraham and says, that's a Begedir of Mitztar. So Mitztar is Potter Min HaSukkah. So says the Magen Avraham, if you have a situation where Yeshiva B'Sukkah is coming to conflict with the normal standards, Manim of Ona, the regular time that the couple wants to be together, so that's already going to touch on Mitztair, so says the Magen Avraham. So then, B'chi HaGavna, the man is going to be Potter. Mishnah Berurah quotes, and some Achronim will say, and we're going to tell the couple after they're together, so then you're going to tell the husband to go leave and to go out to the Sukkah. It's also going to be together Mitztair. So, in effect, the Magen Avraham and later Achronim say, you can have a situation where a married man is going to be Potter, but not because of the slur of the Ramans. Or he's going to be Potter because it's going to end up, practically speaking, not to be feasible for them to be together. So, the male, that's going to be under the category of Mitztair. Of course, that's going to be a tremendous nafkamina, whether you go with the Ramah's Mahalach, or whether you go with the Magen Avraham's Mahalach, if you go with the Ramah's Mahalach, so then the Ptur of Madira Ishva Ishto, At Yeshiva Vesuch Ishva Ishto, applies throughout the month. Doesn't matter whether the woman is Tahor, or whether she's Taneh, whether she's Muteris or Asura, it doesn't make a difference, because since the normal Seder Dvarim is that a couple sleeps in the same room together, so to sleep in a separate room than your wife, that's called not a Dira Ishva Ishto. So according to the Ramah, one would be Potter, even if the woman is an Ida, Mashenki, and according to the Magen Avraham, according to those Achronim who are following the footsteps of the Magen Avraham, that there basically is no heter across the board for a married man to be potter from sukkah if his wife is not going to go with him. It's just a limited tour within the scope of mitzvahs. Then you have to size up each case and see, is it mitzvahs or not mitzvahs? Is it a time of bonus, not a time of bonus? Is she muteris, is she asura? So you can't just give a blanket statement that the man is going to be potter. Each case has to be analyzed. Each night of sukkah is going to have a different sock, according to the Ramah. So it's a tour across the board. If the woman isn't going, is not interested in going, or can't go, whatever the case may be, so then there's an absolute tour for the mitzvah yeshiva of a sukkah vis-a-vis Shana. According to the Magen Avraham and others, there is no absolute tour. It has to be sized up case by case basis. So the Ramah himself, right, that perhaps there's another reason. Perhaps there's another Pesach B'Hakol. Maybe this whole drasha of my dear Ishva Ishto is not all encompassing. So says the Ramah, We will have it's chus and klai, so based on something else. The Gemara says beferish that teish v'keita duru, that problem it's dire, that if a person is uncomfortable, so just as if one is uncomfortable in one's own home, he would leave his home. So if it's raining in my house, I'd leave my house. So too, I don't want to say that, I don't want to make anybody feel bad these days. It's raining in the house, and that's not a good thing these days. But if a person would have a leak in the house, so they would leave the house, a person would have bugs all over the house, it would be impossible for them to function, they would go out of the house, somebody had somewhere else to go. So too, all other types of mitzvah are potter from the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. So the Rav Moshe says, I'll tell you why, generally speaking, people are potter from Mishena b'sukkah, because it's freezing outside, says the Rav Moshe. In Eretz Yisrael, b'sukkah's teish v'shiv is yomim, g'vad everyone's been Eretz Yisrael, b'sukkah's nose, beautiful, warm, it's perfect weather, Eretz Yisrael. Anyone been in Krakow? Anyone see the Rav Moshe? I don't know, some people have gone, why was this? Oh, I've been in Krakow. From my just taking a quick look at the globe where Krakow is situated, so it doesn't look like it's all warm tropics. So this is my grandmother. My grandmother was from Krakow. She was from some other town in Poland. So she told me that it was every year it was snowing in Sukkot. It wasn't a chiddush that it was snowing in Sukkot. Everybody knew it snowed in Sukkot. So that's quite a mitzvah. So I'm all right. That's the real reason for the ptur. So when it comes to eating in the Sukkot, okay, it's also cold when eating in the Sukkot, but you're eating, first of all, it's less time to eat. And number two, some of you can bundle yourself up a little better when you're eating and to sleep. In the freezing cold, so it's not Shayach says that a muscle. Therefore, it's going to be a mitzvah, and therefore mitzvah is going to be part of the sukkah. Now, the emphasis is that nobody can question this pesach of the Ramah. If these are the facts, if the person is mitzvah, so then the Ramah is not mechadesh anything. The Ramah is just telling you that this is an example of mitzvah, which is, of course, clearly the case. But again, if you go with the second halach of the Ramah, then it's not an all encompassing effort, then it's a case by case situation, it's a climate by climate situation, and it's a night by night, it's a judgment call. Every night is something, you gotta listen to the weather report and see just really how cold it is. Different people have different tolerances for cold. So people who have no qualms sleeping in 45 degrees, so then for them it wouldn't be mitzvah. Some people who get sick very easily or just can't deal with anything below 67 degrees, so then for them it will be a mitzvah. So that's going to be something that's going to change case by case. But this is the second p'tur that the Ramah gives. So this p'tur of the Ramah, the second p'tur of the Ramah, that since it's so cold, it's not shayach to sleep here, so therefore one is potter, this throws into question a different Ramah, that the Ramah also in the Hilchos Sukkah quotes in the Mordechai, a tremendous chiddush. So we mentioned here this year that one is supposed to fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah, eating in the Sukkah, drinking in the Sukkah, sleeping in the Sukkah. The Chachila was supposed to try to do everything, whatever you can do in the Sukkah, but the bare minimum, the basic, in Yom Avdira, the Achila, the Shtira, the Shena, one is required to do in the Sukkah. So the Mordechai has a tremendous chiddush. The Mordechai writes, let's say a person builds a Sukkah in a type of a scenario that he can't fulfill all aspects of the mitzvah of Shein of the Sukkah. He builds a Sukkah in such a place where it's just not feasible to fulfill the mitzvah of Shein of the Sukkah. He can't do it. Why can't he do it? He builds a Sukkah in a dangerous place. He has two places to build a Sukkah. He decides to build it right, smack in the front, and it's a dangerous neighborhood, and he knows b'tchil that he's not going to be able to sleep in the Sukkah. So obviously, you don't sleep in the Sukkah if it's dangerous. That's not a teshuva came to duru. But says the Mordechai, tremendous chiddush, not only does the person not sleep in such a Sukkah, but he can't even eat in such a Sukkah either. That Sukkah is psula. Why? Because it's not a makom dira. The Torah says it has to be a basukah stage for shivas yamim. It has to be a place that's royal lekach for dira. And Chazal understood that all in yanei dira are included achila and sheina. So if you build a sukkah mitchila in a place that cannot be slept in, so that's not called a makom haroyal dira, and that's not called the kosher sukkah. Doesn't mean that I have to sleep in this particular sukkah. I can build myself two sukkahs. I can build myself one sukkah I want to eat in. I can build myself another sukkah that I want to sleep in. That's fine. I can sleep in my private sukkah and I can eat all my meals out. That's also okay. Don't have to even sleep in the same sukkah. But each sukkah that you're using for the mitzvah sukkah has to be a sukkah that theoretically is really lekach to fulfill all the aspects of dira. And if not, then the entire sukkah is psula. And the Ramah quotes this Mordechai lahalacha. So this Mordechai, the emphasis is a tremendous chiddush, because we know that whenever we deal with mitzvahs, so you have to always be careful to differentiate between a cheftza shal mitzvah and a ma'isa shal mitzvah. Let's say, for example, tefillin. So there are dinim that relate to the cheftza of tefillin. Tefillin has a certain kedusha to it, and then there's a ma'isa ha-mitzvah ha-nochas tefillin. And sometimes you have to be careful not to cross between the two. There are certain dinim that stem from the cheftza of tefillin. There are certain halachas that depend on the object itself of tefillin, and there are other halachas that depend on the ma'isa mitzvah of tefillin. Just to give an illustration of this, is a halacha of hesech hada'as. Now, one is not permitted to be mesiach da'as when one is wearing tefillin. According to that, we show that it means you're not supposed to be like joking around, you know, talking about the things that are not really tefillin oriented, not kedusha oriented. There's an issur of hesech hada'as. So the big question to poskim, what creates that issur of hesech hada'as? What's the goreim? What's the cause for this issur of hesech hada'as? Is hesech hada'as something which is nevea, something which stems from kedusha's tefillin? Tefillin are so kadosh, so when you're in the state of wearing tefillin, you can't be mesiach da'as from them. Or no, that the chisor of hesech hada'as, the issur of hesech hada'as, is a mitzvah oriented. Namely, the mitzvah, anochas tefillin, is given in such a way that you have to always be focusing on the mitzvah. You take your mind off the mitzvah and you start thinking about things which are antithetical to the tefillin. That's like a bittul of the mitzvah of tefillin. Now, the Chabad have committed the Shekhesiah talks about what if a person is wearing tefillin at a time when he's not yet in the mitzvah anyway. Let's say on Shabbos, the person finds tefillin on the street, so the whole sugya, the end of the Masechta Erevin, so he puts them on. He's not fulfilling the mitzvah. So is he allowed to be mesiach da'as or not? So if you hold that the nature of the issur of hesech hada'as is the kedushas tefillin, so the kedushas tefillin still have kedusha even on Shabbos, whereas if it's the mitzvah tefillin, so there's not as bad a mitzvah anyway, he's not fulfilling the mitzvah. So you have a lot of halachas like this that are sometimes questionable whether they're chefs oriented or whether they're mice and mitzvah oriented. So if you'd have asked me, I would have said that this din that you have to have an achila, an ashtiya, an ashena, all the dinim of teshuva came to duro, I would say this has nothing to do with the sukkah per se. These are not dinim in the chefta shel mitzvah, these are dinim in the ma'isa mitzvah, these are dinim in the gabra. This is what the Torah says I am supposed to be doing in the sukkah. What are the halachas of the chefta shel sukkah? So I'll tell you what the chefta shel sukkah are. The halacha of Moshe Mesinai, it has to be 10 tefachim tall, and it has to be 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, and it has to have kosher eschach, and it has to have two walls plus a little bit of a third. So there are dinim that are given about what creates a chefta shel sukkah, and then there are other dinim that are given, what is required of me to do in the sukkah once I have my chefta shel sukkah. So here the Mordechai is crossing party lines. Here the Mordechai is saying that we're taking an aspect of sukkah which is really a mitzvah ma'isa shebo, which is really a yeshiva shebo, and we're using that to define what constitutes a kosher chefta of the sukkah. Is a sukkah that's not ra'uya lekach to do all the inyanei dira is not called a sukkah haksheira. So that's already a big chiddush. It means Nehecha Teisa, that's something which is basically a din in the yeshiva shebo, is going to define what constitutes a chefta shel sukkah. So the other says that although the Mordechai appears to be a big chiddush, he's not so much more of a chiddush than the Gemara itself, because the Gemara seems... So the Gemara, I don't know if I'd use the phrase Rav Yeshiva, that's a different halacha of Rav Yeshiva. Now I would say this is more of a din of Rav Yeshiva. It means if it's not a Rav Yeshiva, it's not kosher. And the truth is, this is probably has its roots already in the Gemara. This idea that we can cross the lines in Hilchos Sukkah, we can say that a sukkah that's not ra'uy lekach liyeshiva b'sukkah is not even a chefta shel sukkah for any aspect of sukkah. There's a machlokes at Tanoim how big a sukkah has to be. One of the bare minimum dimensions for sukkah. So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi holds that a sukkah has to be dalet amos by dalet amos. The beginning of Masechah Sukkah, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says that just as there's a din bias in Kol HaTorah Kula, in Hilchos Mezuzah, in Hilchos Makkah, whenever the Torah speaks about a bias, or a bias, we have a Masechah that the shear of a bias is dalet amos by dalet amos. So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says a sukkah has to be a bare minimum dalet amos by dalet amos. According to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, all those little sukkahs that you see in Be'er Sharim on the repressive stuff, that's a rope sukkah according to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, because they never dalet amos by dalet amos. Ten amos by half an amos. So, well, more than half an amos, that would really be possible. So according to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, it has to be dalet amos by dalet amos. So the Gemara says, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. We paskin like all the other Tanoim who say that it doesn't have to be the shear of a bias. Why is that? Even though Teshuva gain a duro, but it's a diras aroy. So diras aroy means that it doesn't have to be mamish like a diras keva. A mezuzah, you only chayiv if it's a diras keva. So a bias is the definition of a diras keva, so therefore you need dalet amos. Whereas a sukkah is good enough to be a diras aroy. It doesn't have to be so big. So how much is a diras aroy? So the Gemara says that a diras aroy was a machlekes atanoim between Bisham and Bishalel, whether it has to be 6 tvachim or it has to be 7 tvachim. What's the nafkamina? What's the machlekes? So according to Bishalel, we happen not to pass it like there's one of the few exceptions to the rule. The Gemara says in the beginning of Sukkah, Bishalel said that a sukkah has to be 6 tvachim by 6 tvachim. Why? Because as long as your person can fit his body in, so a person is about an amma by an amma, so I guess it depends whether before you have the fifth, you have about an amma or an amma. So a person fits into the sukkah. As long as the person can basically fit into the sukkah, so that's called the diras aroy. And Beishami had a chiddush that it's not enough for you to fit into the sukkah. You have to bring a little table to the sukkah also. It doesn't have to be a table, kiyar ha-melech, it could be a little tray. Tefach is big enough. As long as it's a tefach by tefach tray, so you can technically put your bagel down on it. So that's good enough. So according to Veishami, which is that we pass in Malacha, sukkah has to be 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim minimum. And the reason for that is because you need a makom haroi l'diras aroi. You don't need diras keva like Rabbi Yudanah. See, you need diras aroi. And diras aroi means not just the person, but be able to get is a little bit of food into the sukkah as well. And you see from here that if a person builds a sukkah which is less than 7 by 7, so even let's say even though he's a small person, he may really be able to fit in here. He may be able to get his hold his bagel in his hand. He still is not yotze in the midst of sukkah. The pashtun is he's not yotze in the Torah, because the chetz of sukkah, the sheer sukkah, was said based on what's called a dira. So Rabbi Yehuda had his definition of dira. He needed a dira's keva, and everybody else held a dira's arah is good enough. And the technical machlokes, so what exactly is the bare minimum for diras aroi? Do you need that extra tefach for the table or not? So that idea that the Mordechai was mechadish, that you use hilchas yeshiva basukkah to define the chetz of a sukkah, is not such a vichidish. That already has its roots in the Tanoim. Already has its roots in the sugyas, in the beginning of Masecha Sukkah. So the Mordechai has this chiddush. No. That Lamaisa, the Mordechai says, the Rabbah Paskins, if you build a sukkah in a place that's not safe, so even though you want to sit and eat in the sukkah, you can't eat in that sukkah, that sukkah is psula. So not everyone agrees to the Mordechai. The Chacham Tzvi says that doesn't think there's any mocha whatsoever for this. The Mordechai is, you can't just make up a din like this, Yesh Meayin, that it has to be royal, the whole inyan, the dira, there's no such thing, and therefore the sukkah is it's not true. Then the Chacham Tzvi says, and I'll bring you a raya, that it's not true. He says, the Gemara says that a sukkah which is 7 by 7 is really kosher. How in the world are you ever going to sleep in such a sukkah that's 7 by 7? Where are you going to put your feet exactly? You're going to roll up and curl up into a ball. So it's aim the style, but otherwise you're never going to be comfortable in such a sukkah. So how can a 7 by 7 sukkah be kosher? Must be the Gemara meant it's kosher to eat in. It's not kosher to sleep. It's not possible. It's not feasible to sleep in. So says the Chacham Tzvi, you see that you can build a sukkah that even though it's not royal in Yonei Shena, that which it's right for, it's right for. It's right for Achima, so it's kosher for Achima. So in Achinami, the Gemara that says that a 7 by 7 sukkah is kosher, that means, and the guy's going to have another sukkah to put his feet in for sleeping. So with this particular sukkah in Achinami is not going to be royal to Shena. It's still kosher in Yonei Achila. That was the Chacham Tzvi's Taina against the Mordechai. So that's the question, whether we pass like this Mordechai or not. The Chazanish claims that the Rif also sounds like the Mordechai. That's already two big Rishonim, a Rif and a Mordechai. So you have to start to shake a little bit. So the Ramah quotes these Rishonim Mahalacha that one has to build a sukkah in a way that's Ruah L'chol in Yonei Dira.
So all these restaurants that have sukkahs.
We're gonna give chos to everybody in a second. First we build up all the chumras that will come. That's why I don't want anyone to leave, because the temple will be coolest in the last 5 minutes. So l'chor, now these two ramahs are problematic. In the one end, the ramah says that I'm minig of many people is not to sleep in the sukkah because it's mitzvah, because it's too cold. So now we have a problem. If the ramah just got finished telling us that a sukkah that's not royal l'chol in Yonei Dira, so it's not kosher for any in Yonei Dira, so that you throw into question all of our sukkahs. How could a person ever eat in a sukkah? Because if it's really too cold to sleep in, so then it's not royal in Yonei Shein. If it's not royal in Yonei Shein, then it's not a sukkah altogether. So it's not a sukkah gavalt. How can you make a bracha leishim a sukkah in the sukkah? So now we have the ramah contradiction. The one ramah, it's the kula and the chubra, which just contradict each other. The ramah really believes, like the Mordechai, that a sukkah must be royal l'chol in Yonei Dira, and if not, it's not a kosher sukkah. How could the same ramah turn around and tell us that our minig is that we eat in the sukkah, that we don't sleep in the sukkah because it's not too cold? So what do you make of these two ramahs? So the Mishnah Brura quotes that the answer to these two ramahs is really one of two ways. So one way is a lamdashavor, namely, what exactly does the Mordechai mean when he says that a sukkah that has to be royal l'chol in Yonei Dira is a sukkah, and whatever is not royal l'chol in Yonei Dira is not considered to be a sukkah? So the case that the Mordechai is talking about is the case of safety. When a person chooses to build a sukkah in a place that's dangerous. So says the Mishnah Brura, that means a person who has two options. I could build a sukkah in a place that's safe, or I could build a sukkah in a place that's dangerous. And I go out of my way and I build a sukkah in a place that's dangerous. So says the Mishnah Brura, Who would ever build a house like that? A person builds a house, so you build a house you can use for all your inyoni dira, a house that's safe to eat in, a house that's safe to sleep in. So for a person to go ahead and build his house in such a way that he can't do half of what a house is built for, he can't sleep in the house, so that's a meshugana house. That's not called a house, that's called a place to eat lunch, that's not called a makam dira. So to build a house with chiyuah, a situation where you know that you can't sleep in, so that's not considered to be a makam dira. But what if you don't have any other option? What if you don't have two choices in front of you? Every place is impossible to sleep in. So what do you want for a person to say? A person who can't sleep anywhere, a person has insomnia, he can never sleep anywhere. So you tell him not to build a house. What do you need a house for? You don't sleep anyway. He needs a house for other things. He needs a house to be in the daytime. He needs a house to eat in. So no. So he'll sit in the basement all night. He's not going to sleep the whole night. So he'll never be home. He'll never sleep at home. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, so a person does build a house for partial in Yoni Dira. It's not crazy for a person to build a house only for the purpose of eating. The guy is a night job. He takes naps at the outside. He never sleeps in his house. But still, he needs a house for whatever he needs it for. All the Mordechai meant to say is that if you're building a house for all in Yoni Dira and you choose to build it in a place where you can't do all in Yoni Dira, that's a chisaron of a makom dira. But if lays brayer, if there's no other way to do it, so then people do build houses for partial in Yoni Dira. So says the Mishnah, that's what the Ramah meant, that if you have a situation like the Mordechai was described in the original case, the Mordechai was a guy, he could build a sukkah in the front of his house or the back of his house. The back of his house is safe, he'll feel comfortable sleeping there, and the front of the house he would never dream of sleeping there, it's too dangerous. So the Mordechai says you can't build a sukkah in the front of the house and think you're going to eat in that sukkah, because that sukkah is not royal adira. But what if it's dangerous both in the front and the back? He lives in a dangerous neighborhood, there's no safe place to build a sukkah. So who ever heard of such a thing that therefore you can't build a sukkah for achila? That's not true. So whatever in Yoni Dira you can do, you do. Whatever in Yoni Dira you can't do. And that's not called the chisaron of a makom dira. So that's Pasha's the answer here also. You live in Krakow, you live in a climate that's cold, so there's no choice. Where are you going to go? Are you going to go to Florida? You have to, in Lo Shemana, you have to pick up your whole house and move somewhere else for warm climate for sukkahs. So you have to make do with whatever you have. So if you live in a place where it's cold no matter where you put your sukkah, you put it in the front, you put it in the back, you put it on the roof, where are you going to put it? It's going to be cold. So that's not called the chisar of a makom dira. So whatever dira you do, you do. Whatever dira you can't do, you can't do. So the sukkah has the heft of sukkah's kshera. You can eat in the sukkah, you make a bracha of the sukkah, and the shayna's. No. So you don't sleep in the sukkah. That's one possibility. The second possibility is that maybe when it comes to colds, don't say that it's not royal adira. What do you mean it's not royal adira? It's cold outside. Let's say you had another blanket. And let's say you had another blanket. You had your thermal underwear, and you had your sweatshirts and everything. In theory, every person could ultimately make it comfortable enough to sleep. Could be you're not mechuyev to do that. You know, the Torah says you have to live in a normal way and stuff. If you're not mechuyev to start buying 15 sweatshirts and start going under 20 blankets in order to make yourself warm, so you're not mechuyev to do it. You're allowed to invoke the heter of mitzvah in a sukkah. But can you say that's not royal l'sheina? It is royal l'sheina. It's royal l'sheina. If you would do it, if you'd work hard enough on it, it's theoretically royal l'sheina. You happen not to be mechuyev as a gavra to turn it into a makom sheina right now, but the heft of the sukkah is called royal l'sheina. So you can have your split. So then the sukkah is kshera. From the vantage point of the sukkah is kshera. So lagabi achila, you can eat in that sukkah. You make a bracha in that sukkah. From the vantage point of shena, so then as a gavra, you're a potter if it's not feasible for you comfortably to sleep in that sukkah. So those are perhaps the two different yeshuvim for the psak of the Ramos. Obviously, halach lemaisa, of course, we all know that whether or not we accept that Mordechai or not, lemaisa, we assume that if a person really lives in a cold climate, so then they would not be mechuyev to sleep in the sukkah. The sukkah clearly would be kshera. So these two pturim that the Ramah gives us, the three pturim, the ptur of the Ramah of Teish V'Kein Tadurim, Adir Ish V'Ishto, the modified kula of the Magen Avraham, that sometimes it's Begedim, it's Tayer, or the third kula in terms of cold, so one has to really size up and see which of these kulas are appropriate, which are not. So those who are not married, so obviously the first two kulas don't apply at all, so then obviously they have to work only within the guidelines of whether it's cold or not. So that's each person has to know for themselves what their tolerance is, and each person has to size up each year of sukkahs, and each night of sukkahs is a different shayla. Each case, for those who are married, so then they have to decide. They want to follow the Ramah straight, with an Esau Yotzim Yad Ramah, they want to just follow it straight without any kula, without any conditions, and just say, listen, I'm married, my wife is not interested in coming out to the sukkah, so here from Pont. Okay, so they follow the Ramah. Can't have any tithes. The person follows the Ramah, can't have any questions. Those who don't don't want to follow the Ramah straight out, so they want to follow the modified version of the Magen Avraham with the Ramah, so then they would have to, then the Pesach is going to be different in each case, and each month is going to be a different Pesach. But I think that there is one Ha'ara that perhaps people aren't aware of, and that's in terms of napping in the sukkah during the daytime. So that there's no difference in halacha between sleeping at night and sleeping in the daytime, in the sense of that the chiyuv is to sleep bein b'yom bein b'layla. Same way the sukkah says you eat bein b'yom bein b'layla. So anytime a person goes to sleep in the daytime, one would also be mechuyav to do the sukkah. And I would say that most times, all of the kulas that we put together for sleeping at night, so very, very often do not apply in the daytime. Let's say the kulah d'ramah, madira ish v'ishto, ap shein ish v'ishto. I don't want to ask for a show of hands, but who here could really say they would never dream of taking a nap? If the wife's not home, they would never take a nap. It's usually the opposite. If your wife's home, you wouldn't dream of taking a nap because you'd get caught. But if your wife's not home, so forget, a Shabbos nap. Whoever takes a Shabbos nap together with their wife, it's always at the other time. So that first cool d'ramah, like having naps in the afternoon, I think the chlal doesn't apply at all. The second, the Magen Avraham obviously is not shayach either. The olim, the mitzvah clearly is not shayach. And the cold, depends how cold it is. If it's in a chenami, if it's 45 degrees in the middle of the day, so that's okay, that's going to be mitzvah. But ruv of the time, so in the middle of the afternoon, if it's a nice sunny day, so it's very comfortable to take a nap outside. Those will take their naps in the hammocks outside, so it's not all that uncomfortable. So that's chayav. So it comes out interesting that the Shayna of the nighttime, which is of course the Ikadira, so it could be we have very, very valid heterim, those who follow the Ramah, those who are nervous about cold, those who are susceptible to getting sick. So they're very, very valid, coolest for those who are Muhammad, for those who sleep out of the sukkah at night. But to sleep out of the sukkah in the daytime, I think, is much more difficult to make a case. And the only thing that sometimes you have a situation of mitzvah also, sometimes, let's say sometimes it's after a meal or sometimes after the yontif meal, a person wants to go to sleep and they know they're going to be visited by sukkah hoppers in the next 20 minutes. And what kind of sleep is that? So I'm going to lay down and someone's going to have 50 kids stamping on my head. So okay, so that would also be the get the mitzvah. But if a person doesn't have that kind of a setup, that there's really no reason to believe that they're going to be bothering anybody, and it's comfortable, it's a nice, comfortable sukkah, they should prepare, they should leave a mattress in the sukkah, or leave it outside, a cot, or whatever it is, to have a place that they can at least sleep in the daytime. So I think that's something that really to be mechazik, but to sleep in the night, so those are very, very, very shtark, the kulas are ready from the days of the Ramah, and the Gra, and the Ram, they're ready, solid, and about those who don't want to rely on the kulas, or forget, those whose wives are willing to join them in the sukkah, so that's, matoy, it's wonderful, gavaldika, tov aleichem bracha, but those who, for whatever reason, their wives aren't going to join them, and they want to rely on the Ramah, and the Magen Avraham's kula, and it's cold outside, so that, people definitely have what to rely on. But in terms of the afternoon naps, so I think unless you have a particular situation which comes up that's begetting the mitzvah, so once you try to be makbid to fulfill that mitzvah of shein and the sukkah, at least during the daytime.
Would be the star like in the afternoon that you. It's white outside.
So that, again, that would have to be a case by case. It has to be the same kind of mitzvah you have. If it's the same mitzvah in the house as in the sukkah, then that's not called, the house doesn't close the door. How would I?
Second answer, Mr. Brewer. So why wouldn't that apply to the Mordechai's case at all? Also, I mean, I could hire the army.